Roxo Media House.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Purple Theory Podcast. My name is Grant McGalliard. I'm joined by my friend, my co-host, Parker Fleming. Parker, we had to tackle the most important issue on everyone's mind this week. How's your Spotify Wrapped?
Oh man. Okay. I want to hear about yours because I saw you tweeted some of yours out. I have to confess that mine is broken for two specific reasons. Mm-hmm. My Spotify Wrapped means nothing because I do two things. One, I listen to an 8-song playlist at the gym and just listen to it over and over and over again. And so it takes all of these like stuff that I would never turn on for like, hey, I'm vibing out. Hey, I'm driving, whatever. It's literally, I'm in the gym probably 10 hours a week of just these 8 songs. So that's my top played song. So that screws everything up. And then I'm a really big fan of focus music, mm-hmm. like beats, auras, whatever. And they're like, I'll put it on before I go to sleep. And so a bunch of those tracks are there. So one way to combat that is some people are doing, instead of like music tracks, they're doing podcasts for these focus beats. So I've done that a little bit to help my Spotify, but I really don't know how to combat the problem of the gym workout playlist.
Parker's top 5 songs are all lo-fi, chill hop, hip hop beats to study to.
They're all cleansing auras. Like, I don't know why I love that stuff, dude. It's just like this frequency that just gets right in your brain and I can just totally lock out. And you know how crazy hyperactive my brain is. Like anything that just let me lock in, it's great.
Have you ever had the Social Network playlist on your top 5?
No.
I have.
I don't even know what the fantastic Social Network playlist is.
Well, the movie, The Social Network, the soundtrack by Trent Reznor. It's fantastic. For Trent Reznor. Who doesn't love Trent Reznor?
I actually have it downloaded. So in the past, I have listened to it.
It rules, man.
Interesting.
It's very good. Yeah.
Trent Reznor kind of rookie rules. Tell me about your Spotify playlist. I'm just commenting on things that I'm seeing around me in the room right now.
I stand by mine. I had McMurtry as my number one artist. I had then Turnpike, The Rolling Stones, Tyler Childers, and Trampled by Turtles. So I will stand by all those. Childish Things by James McMurtry was my number one song. Tornadoes by Dalton Mills. A Life of Illusion by Joe Walsh. Tom Barrett by Ian No, and Parker, a song you and I both appreciate, Oklahoma Breakdown by Stoney the Roo, was my number 5. So
Oklahoma Breakdown
is, and we're getting torn up,
is up there for me. Everything from Turnpike Troubadours, The One by Taylor Swift is somehow up here. I think that's because my wife and I were driving a lot and we would put that on when we were driving a lot of things. Honestly, I think this is emblematic also of, I just didn't listen to a lot of new music this year. There's stuff I enjoyed, but I don't really know if I could say in the last year, here's an album that I felt like I needed to come back to over and over again. Like I listened to Tyler Childers a bunch, but that was relatively recent. So it wouldn't make a dent in my top 5 or whatever, but
yeah. Yeah. Nor did I, you and I both need to give shout outs to a couple of people. First and foremost, listener of the year, Michael at Woodburgs, listened to 1,595 minutes of the Purple Theory Podcast on Spotify. That's
God help
awesome.
You, Woodburgs.
God, I also feel very bad for you.
I don't know what this means. I just pulled up because he just replied to a tweet of mine. His bio says, King of the Tuck Tuck Sound, T-U-K to UK sound. I have no idea what that means, but it made me laugh.
But thank you for your listenership. I know Charlie Ruff, we were in his number 4 to listen podcast. Laredo Lloyd, I think we were his number 3. Shout out to all of our listeners. If you listen to us on Spotify, thank you very much. I don't know why. I would recommend you don't. And yet here we are. So
shout out to my in-laws, who my mother-in-law texted me this morning, Grant, and said that I need to get your green bean casserole recipe.
Oh, I will send it to her. It's very good.
Yeah, she would love that. So we'll hook that up.
Yeah, it's not original. a coworker of mine, I think I might have mentioned this, gave me the tip to add Worcestershire sauce, and let me tell you, it kicks ass.
Interesting.
We also have other shout outs to give. Parker, the Big 12 players of the year, all Big 12, whatever, list came out this year. I, in my life, have never seen so many TCU players on this list.
It is truly amazing. Okay, wait, can we just, yes, I want to get to the all Big 12.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I want to emphasize that this is not the hate and ass retrospective. We're going to do that. I'm working on technology where we won't record that so we can have fun, but we can still interact with people. But Grant, I just want to take a victory lap. Max Duggan is your 2022 Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award.
Yes, yes. I buried the lead.
What we said for years.
I've never felt more correct in my entire life.
I can't believe that it's taken, like, I feel this much vindication about a take that, hey, a four-star recruit, when he's in the right situation, can be a pretty good quarterback. But here we are.
Turns out a dual threat redhead from Iowa has what it takes to be the best quarterback in the Big 12. The best quarterback of the country.
One up.
The Johnny Unitas
this
award.
Season. Yeah, absolutely. So that's very fun. Oh, yes, ton of guys on the all Big 12 team, man. So many.
So many. I'm just going to read it out because it's fun. We'll start with the superlatives. Max Duggan, Offensive Player of the Year. Johnny Hodges, Defensive Newcomer of the Year. Very fun. Darius Davis, Special Teams Player of the Year. Sonny Dykes, Chuck Ninus, Coach of the Year. Do you know who Chuck Ninus is? I did not look that up.
No, I didn't see that one. Hold on, keep talking.
I'm going to do that. Wow. Yeah, look that up. So Max, obviously, first team.
Oh my gosh.
All-Big.
Okay. I'm sorry. This is how sick. I don't know if I've said out loud on the broadcast. I'm sick. You can hear it. I feel terrible. I'm taking cough medicine. I thought, Grant, that you were just doing a bit with me where you were saying unanimous in a weird way to be like, oh, is that a fancy word? Because Sonny Dykes is the unanimous coach of the year, but there's a name. It's named after Chuck Nias.
Chuck
as Nias. Well.
Yeah.
But I thought for a second you were making a joke about it being unanimous.
No,
and like trying to call it.
I might have mispronounced that. I have a very bad accent. This is
no,
fun.
No, you're fine. I'm not making fun of you. I thought you were doing something funny and I was slow on the uptake, but then I realized it's actually called the Chuck Ninus.
Yeah, who is
that's
Chuck
a guy.
Ninus?
He's a real guy. Yeah.
Who is he? Did you look him up?
He was born in Wisconsin.
Not, that's not helpful. What?
He was a commissioner. He's a former commissioner of the Big 8 Conference.
Okay, there you go. Well, Sonny Dykes was the unanimous winner of the Chuck Ninus Award.
And he saved the conference. We're going to talk about this later. I'm going to read that later. It's a long article.
Okay. Max was first team. Kendra Miller was first team running back. Quentin Johnston, first team wide receiver. Alana Lee and Steve Avila, both first team offensive linemen. Parker, I want you to put yourself on November 30th as we record 2020-21. Imagine a TCU offensive lineman being first team all Big 12.
Utterly shocking to me. I know that like Steve has been getting hype for his entire career
which is
evidently
cool.
Justifiably so, but like TCU's offensive line has been aggressively bad for years. This is astounding to me that not one, but two offensive linemen for TCU are among the best in the conference.
It's incredibly funny to me. It rules. Griffin Kell, first team place kicker. My vendetta against the Lou Groza Award continues. The best kicker in the Big 12 conference was not a finalist for the Lou Groza Award. I don't understand that. Darius Davis, first team kick returner. We go to the second team. We have D Winters. Oh, no, sorry. This is just defense. We have D. Winters, first-team linebacker. We have Travis Hodges-Thompson, first-team defensive back, and Josh Newton, first-team defensive back.
Your boy Fig is what people are calling him, evidently. Young Fig Newton.
Young Fig.
Impressive to have all three of those guys there. Josh Newton, I think, is, again, when we do our superlatives in the dead of winter, he'll definitely be our most off the radar player because I don't know that I've said Josh Newton's name before. I was like, oh, Noah Daniels isn't going to start. Who's this other fellow? And it turns out he's a lockdown corner who has another year of eligibility. So that's pretty great.
it's him and Abe Kamara are the two on defense where I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, this guy rules. And then Johnny Hodges was second team defense.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I felt like that was good. No second team. Interestingly, no second team offense for TCU.
Yeah. The honorable mention is very fun.
I don't even know that I see the honorable mentions.
Player X is an honorable mention.
If you adjust your expectations for what he was, maybe you're saying he's much better than that. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. That feels like a lot of people voted and just picked a player on the best team because they didn't know who else to pick.
Yes. Yeah. We're just going to leave it at that. That just struck my attention. Also, I wanted to point out Jordy Sandy was an honorable mention. So
nice. He's Parker. An agent of chaos. I love that.
Listen, if you need a 39-yard punt, I know the man who can give it to you. Parker, TCU plays Kansas State in the Big 12 championship game on Saturday.
I'm sorry, that's the 12-0 undefeated TCU Horned Frogs.
Correct, the number three team in the country. Yes, yeah, TCU.
The only matchup between top 10 teams this weekend on conference championship weekend. Some people are saying this is the only real conference championship game because the rest of them are between two vastly outmatched teams.
Yeah, this is the best football conference in the country. Yes, for sure. TCU and Kansas State have played each other once before this season. TCU won 38-28, a game I was at, a game I did not really feel comfortable in, but I feel actually less comfortable going into this game than I did going into the first. Before
it's harder to beat a team twice. It's hard to beat a team twice. That's just a hard thing to do. And so on that merit, I would say, oh yeah, it's going to be pretty hard for TCU to beat Kansas State again, especially because Kansas State has perpetuated a narrative that somehow they were wronged or not at full strength in that game, and they want some, you know, they'd like to rectify that, I think. So there's definitely some kind of chip on the shoulder situation this weekend for Kansas State as well, which would make me swing things in their favor a little bit if I were prognosticating.
Well, yeah. So on that note, Parker, let's talk about vibes before we get into numbers.
I love vibes.
No numbers, just vibes. How do you feel about this game? I that's an honest question because I really don't know how to feel.
I feel nothing. There's no downside this weekend. I have spoken all year about how my interpretation of TCU season does not rest on whether they make the playoff, doesn't make on what happens. They've gone undefeated one time through. Going into this game, I am super content with TCU season. I think they've done a great job. It's a great ride. I will fully invest in those 60 minutes and I will live and die with every play. But in the grand scope of this, I'm not nervous, I'm not worried, I'm not confident. I'm agnostic.
You're one of my best friends in the world. I am going to call you out and say that's a cop out. I need you to have
maybe
an
I'm just
how
high
do you
on
feel
cold
about
meds right now. But I
how do you
I
feel
really,
about TCU football going into this game? Sincere. That's what I mean.
I feel fine about TCU football. I think this is an amazing season that nobody could have predicted.
It feels nice
to be vindicated.
No.
Do I think TCU's playing better, playing worse than the record? Yes. Do I think they've gotten some fortunate bounces to go 12-0? Absolutely. Do I think that's sustainable? No, but I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again.
You're not answering my question.
Tell me what you want me to say.
As a TCU fan, how do you feel about TCU's chances going into this game?
If we go and predict this, I believe they're going to lose just on the
reality of playing a team twice
is hard.
Okay. I just wanted to know where you were at. I feel.
I should have let you answer this first so I knew what you
were. No, I wasn't looking for like a specific answer. I was looking for you to tell me what you thought about TCU football and not distance yourself as if you're some, you know, overlord who just has all these numbers. No, that's not what I was looking for. I am very nervous about TCU going into this game. I think TCU should win on paper. I think also that Kansas State is on a daggum roll. Joe Gillespie has proven his ability to make adjustments when they're needed. And I think he will make adjustments for this game on defense. But I feel very, very nervous, even though I do think TCU should win on paper. So
I think I'll drop this out there as well in terms of Joe Gillespie's adjustments. I'm going to be intentionally vague, but if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Kansas State is not going to have an information advantage that they definitely had in the prior game, especially with the switch between Adrian Martinez, because Kansas State knew that Adrian Martinez was not good to go.
Yeah.
They knew he was not 100%. They hid that, and he went on the first play, and they said, nope, this is not happening. So they had game planned a lot of stuff that TCU just absolutely wasn't prepared for, and TCU survived it. So that kind of surprise advantage and that information advantage will be certainly mitigated. Also, I do really believe that Joe Gillespie is having a hard time installing his game plans, but doing a great job adjusting them at halftime and making sure everyone's on the same page.
I think that's fair. Parker, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some stats, some very caveman level stats from the first time Kansas State and TCU met. And I hope that you will be able to provide me with a little bit of updated, you know, kind of projections from your numbers going into this game. So the first time TCU and Kansas State played each other, Will Howard was 13 of 20 for 225 yards, two touchdowns, one pick. Deuce Vaughn ran 12 times for 83 yards, a touchdown. Will Howard added 9 carries, 31 yards, and another touchdown. Malik Knowles had 4 catches for 69 yards. Phillip Brooks had 2 for 50. Cade Warner, I think, was probably the breakout star of that game, had 2 catches for 40 yards, including an absolute steal of a catch for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. For TCU, Max Duggan had 17 of 26 for 280. 3 touchdowns, no picks. Kendrick Miller ran for 29 times for 153 yards. And I mean, probably sealed the game. He was outstanding. Had 2 touchdowns as well. QJ was 4 of 74 for 1 TD. Jared Wiley, that's a topic we'll get into. Probably played his best game of the season. 5 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. Darius Davis had 1 catch for 65 yards and a touchdown on the first possession of the game. So that's kind of the baseline we're working with here. Parker, do you have any advanced numbers? I know you do. That will give us a little bit more perspective.
Yeah, so I just want to note something that keeps me up at night, that Will Howard had Cade Warner open in the end zone on the second to last drive.
He did, and yep.
And that absolutely could have done a lot to change the nature of things. Kansas State has closed the gap. When we talk about between last time and this time, I'm pulling up to make sure I say this exactly because I was going offhand. Someone has tweeted this at me and now I can't find it. In the last game, I had TCU winning by a couple points. In this game, the numbers have TCU by 1. So that margin has closed. Specifically, the difference there has been one that we've gotten more information and there's fewer preseason priors. Sure. Also things like the Tulane game it's not necessarily a performance change so much as it is like a weighting change. Like the Tulane game just goes away and the win over Oklahoma looks a little differently for both of these teams and all of that. So there's just some natural changes as well in this matchup. Kansas State is 31st in EPA per play margin. They're 41st on offense, 39th on defense. TCU was 13th in raw EPA per play margin. They're 14th on offense. They're 49th on defense. Grant, Kansas State's offense, 23rd in EPA per pass, 73rd in EPA per rush. They're not a very good rushing team, especially with Adrian Martinez out that from the quarterback position. Yeah. They really are relying on Deuce Vaughn to hit a big run. They're not getting a lot of success outside of that. On the flip side, Kansas State's 31st in EPA per pass, 75th in EPA per rush. When they have gotten beaten, it is because teams are able to move the ball against them consistently, as we saw in the Texas game, for example, although Texas tried very hard to beat them. Both of these offenses are very similar in that they run the ball a lot. Kansas State is 107th in rush rate over expected, 6.0 percentage points more than the average team. That's how often they rush. TCU is only 1.4, but that's still 79th. So two teams that are going to run a lot, they're going to try and lift their floor and hope for that home run play to hit. Both of these teams really rely on explosives.
And that seems like an advantage for TCU as well, because TCU can, as Kent State can, sure, but Kendra Miller has proven his ability to break a big run. Even when it's not expected, both against Iowa State and against Texas. So yeah, he has the ability to kind of make those game-breaking plays, even when TCU is not swinging for the fences, so to speak.
I agree. And if you look at the differences in success rate and EPA, I think it's informative. Kansas State, 27th in passing success, 23rd in EPA per pass. On offense, that means that they are just consistently moving the ball pretty well. Not that they're hitting home runs, but in rushing, they're 38% rushing success rate, 85th in the nation, but they're 73rd EPA per rush. So they're not moving the ball very consistently rushing, but when they do, that's they get that explosive chunk run. So I think that's definitely an advantage. TCU is kind of the inverse. They're 15th in EPA per pass, but 75th in passing success rate. So TCU is not very successful on passes consistently. A lot of that's because of screens and the nature of screens and the shots they're taking there. But when TCU hits, it's going to be a big play. And then in rushing, TCU's 42nd in rushing success rate, 33rd in EPA per rush. So they're just kind of moving the ball consistently. So whereas Kansas State moving the ball consistently with the pass game, then tries to break off the big run, TCU moving the ball consistently with the run game tries to break off the big pass.
Makes a lot of sense. And that really kind of replicates what happened in the first game between TCU and Kansas State. That 65-yard pass to Darius Davis on what was a 5-yard out route that he just turned and burned on is a very good example. I think before we get into Kansas State, and by the way, look, we're not going to break down Kansas State again just because we've already done that once this season. Go back and listen to our Kansas State preview podcast, but there are a lot of things that have changed and we'll touch on those. I think that the thing about this TCU-Kansas State game is that this is a very narrative-driven opinion, but TCU has matured a ton. And I think they've also...
In what way? I think I like that, but in what way?
I think the play callers have matured a ton. I think Garrett Riley has kind of figured out how to stitch a game together. I think Joe Gillespie has gotten better at putting together a game plan from the first whistle instead of the first whistle after halftime. So I think TCU has put together a lot more cohesive game plans throughout an entire game instead of in the second half than they did when they played Kansas State the first time.
I think I agree. I think the Iowa State kind of bears testimony to that a little bit, just that the first drive from Garrett Riley was impeccable. And early on, TCU was exactly prepared for what Iowa State was going to do. So I think there's definitely some evidence of that.
Yeah. Parker, I do want to talk about one thing. And by that, I mean, I want you to talk about one thing, because you pointed out how impactful Ben Sinnott has been at tight end for Kansas State. Tell me a little bit what does he bring? What's his value
there? I believe that's first team all conference tight end slash fullback, because he's like 6'4", 247, and he's wearing 34. So I'm pretty sure we're calling him a fullback.
Interesting. Okay.
In the Big 12 every year, it's really hard to know who's who.
He is listed as first team fullback. Yeah.
Okay. PFF has him as a tight end, but you know, not all walk-ons who come out of the backfield and catch passes are created equal, as I've always said. He's really come on as of late. He only had 3 targets in the Texas game, but then he had 7 against Baylor, 4 against West Virginia, and 2 against Kansas in a game where they didn't really need him. But he's been really, really good for them. 367 total yards, 3 touchdowns. If you look at his first downs, though, he's at 16 first downs. So very, very effective there in kind of being a part of the offense. He's responsible for more than a third of their not more than a third. Sorry, I can't do math. Again, cold medicine. I apologize to the listeners. About 15% of their total targets on the season. But again, most of that has come recently as they've gotten Will Howard passing a little bit more and he's blocking a little bit less. And so he's kind of been a natural counterpunch to or counterbalance to the evolution of the Kansas State offense under Will Howard.
He also weirdly has the highest average depth of target on the team for anyone that's had more than one target.
Because they're sneaking him out there. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I mean, he kind of plays. I tell me if this is an unfair comparison. He kind of plays like the a Mason Fairchild role from Kansas, where it's, hey, we're going to sneak him out there and get him the ball.
I think so. I would pay money to see those two guys wrestle an officiated match. I think just athletic tight ends are very funny to me.
I think there's an OnlyFans for that. Parker, can I take a complete pot shot real quick, and then we'll go back to Kansas State?
You may. Is it going to be about me, and is it going to be related to OnlyFans?
No, it's not. It's not going to be about either one of those two things. Do you know who the second team All Big 12 quarterback is?
Honestly, without looking, no. It's going to be Blake Shapen. I don't know. Dylan Gabriel?
It's Jalen Daniels.
That, okay. All right. All right.
We all love Kansas. We all support Kansas and Lance Leipold. Boy.
I think he gets an extra bump for helping Lance Leipold smoke out unreliable sources who are leaking information, which they totally did because Lance Leipold was trying to purge the unbelievers by telling them that Jalen Daniels was not going to play and then counteracting it. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, it's hard for me to be like, oh, that's egregious, but it's, I don't know what the award is, but if I was picking the quarterback that I would want after Max Duggan this season, I don't know that I would. I mean, I could design an offense that'd be really fun for Jalen Daniels. I don't know if he would be the best one to run it.
Would he be in your top five? In the Big 12.
Big 12 quarterbacks.
Sorry, this is a total pot shot. I did not mean
no,
that.
No,
no.
No.
No. Anyway, Kansas State does bring a very good defensive front. They have a solid back line as well. This is not going to be an easy win for TCU. As a matter of fact, as you and I both said, I'm very nervous that TCU can lose this game. I'm trying not to think about it, but it doesn't bring me a lot of hope.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm a little bit resigned here. I do think that we should talk about Will Howard a little bit just when we're talking about this defense.
Sure.
This offense. You know, he's come on and had five games. He's thrown for 1,200 yards, 9.3 yards per attempt. We saw him a little bit in the TCU game. Obviously, know what he can do when receivers are open and generally is kind of okay. But I will note that you know, seven of his touchdowns, he has 13 touchdowns. Seems like a big number. Seven of those came against Oklahoma State and Baylor, both of which had extreme extenuating circumstances as to why they rolled over, which isn't to discredit those and say he's not good, but say maybe the volume on those. Like, I think it speaks volumes that here's his average yards per attempt. TCU, 11.3. West Virginia, 10.9. Kansas, 10.1. In those games, he had two touchdowns each, six total touchdowns across three games.
Yep.
Oklahoma State average yards per attempt was 8.0. He had four touchdowns. Baylor, it was 7.3. He had three touchdowns. So clearly some other stuff going on that might have affected, you know, what was going on there in terms of missed tackles or scheme or guys just not covering very well or playing very hard against them overall.
It may also be a thing where Colin Klein, who I don't know if you remember, is Kansas State's offensive coordinator, has said, hey, Adrian Martinez is no longer our quarterback. We're going to design an offense around Will Howard, and has done it pretty well.
I'm very impressed with that. First year offensive coordinator had a massive quarterback change in the middle of the season to someone who, like, Will Howard could not do what they wanted Adrian Martinez to do.
No, absolutely not.
And I mean, this is going to be much more of your pocket. Like, despite the fact that Will Howard had one of the funniest runs against TCU, and it's why they lost the 2020 game. like, he is not going to be your improv scramble kind of a guy. He is going to be your, we're going to run the offense guy.
Was it Will Howard or Skylar Thompson who threw the worst Hail Mary of all time? I can't remember. I think it was Will Howard, but Kansas State was like 40 yards from the end zone, and Will Howard threw it 32 yards. Just truly an abysmal display of arm talent. And yet now he is the quarterback of a Big 12 championship team. Pretty cool. Pretty happy for him, honestly.
Eternity begins new each day, Grant.
Indeed it does. Parker, we have some listeners.
Yeah.
A few. Not a lot, but a few. And they have weighed in on this. Do you want to hear their takes first, or do you want to give our best case, worst case?
Let's do our – I like the rhythm of our best case, worst case, okay. Then the listeners, and then ours. And then we'll
work around. Our predictions. Okay. So, yeah. All right, that works. So I will start with my worst case, and then I'll throw it to you so we can end on a positive note. I think this game can easily end 38-28 Kansas State. A direct reversal of the first game in which these two teams met. I do think TCU has been playing with fire for 12 straight games, and I think Will Howard and this offense can do enough against the TCU defense to just really piss in the punch bowl. And so 38-28, I think it's worst case.
Yeah, I think that the worst case for me definitely involves special teams mistakes for TCU, which I feel bad saying every week because it's like I'm manifesting something bad happening. But I think West Virginia is only the really only one where TCU had like a really bad special teams play. Mm-hmm. In that lost fumble that probably shouldn't have been a lost fumble. That's not the point of this podcast.
It was BS. Let's call it what it is.
But last week against Kansas, I mean, that was a 20-point game where Kansas handed Kansas State 14 points. And so I think if TCU lets them score with short fields, with special teams, whatever, this could get out of hand. And I like that 10-point loss. I'd say like, yeah, give me, I don't know, like, yeah, like something crazy, like 41-28, 41-31, where TCU, it's like TCU's driving to maybe pull it within a score and something bad happens and the margin looks way worse than it actually is, but you get a double digit score. I think that's absolutely on the table.
Okay. Best case wise, I will say I think there is a universe where Will Howard regresses to the mean and stops the kind of magical run he's been on. I think the TCU defense proved against Hunter Deckers, who is not as good of a quarterback as Will Howard is and has a worse offensive coordinator. But there is a chance where the TCU defense just makes hay and the offense operates as it has. And this winds up, say, 42-17 TCU. I mean, I think that margin is within play.
I'm going to ask a ridiculous question before I give my
I love that
prediction. Okay, the teams that Kansas State has played since they last played TCU. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. Texas, Baylor, mm-hmm. West Virginia, mm-hmm. Kansas.
Yep.
Is there a single cornerback on those five teams that is as good as THT or Josh Newton?
No.
Maybe, but probably no. TCU has both of those guys.
Yeah.
And sure do. I think that's very important. I think that could be very disruptive in the downfield passing game, especially because TCU's off defensive line, I think, has grown up a whole lot since
October 22nd.
I really found themselves. Go ahead.
Can I plug something real quick? I am very mad that Dylan Horton did not make at least second team, all Big 12. He grew up a ton. In the last half of the season, he played really well.
I get that on talent. It's like, okay, there are other guys. Like, again, same thing. Like, would I pick Dylan Horton first among Big 12 defensive ends this season? No, that's a really deep unit. But in terms of getting better over the season, yeah, I would have liked for him to get some recognition.
Okay, here, look, let's do this real quick. Do you mind?
Please.
First team All Big 12. First team All Big 12, I think, is unimpeachable. Siaka Ika, Will McDonald, Felix from Kansas State, Tyree Wilson, and Dante Stills. Unimpeachable first team All Big 12. Fantastic.
Very, very hard to argue that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That it's not right.
Yeah, no, that's completely correct. Here's second team. Lonnie Phelps from Kansas, Ethan Downs, Brock Martin, and Colin Oliver, and Keandre Coburn. I think Dylan Horton is better than Colin Allen.
Who is the second? Who is the second one?
Ethan Downs from Oklahoma.
I don't know if anybody on Oklahoma's defense deserves to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like I think Dylan Horton deserves to be on that second. Like, it's very petty to argue and meaningless to argue about second team All Big 12. Dylan Horton deserves to be on there. He had a hell of a year. So I just want to get that on the record.
He's primed for a big game this weekend, Grant. I'll tell you that Kansas State with Will Howard. When Will Howard is kept clean, that's 66% of his dropbacks, 72.2% mm-hmm. completion, 11 touchdowns, 10.7 yards per attempt. When mm-hmm. Will Howard is under pressure, that's almost 34% of his dropbacks. His completion percentage is 42.9%. He has only two touchdowns. He has 6 yards per attempt. He has 8.5% turnover worthy plays. Michael Dunn, I believe, tweeted today a graphic from, because I tweeted this out because somebody, CFP Film Room, said Will Howard's among the best quarterbacks in the Big 12, which take it or leave it, that's fine. He's played all right. But his positive EPA rate versus pressure. So the success rate, positive EPA, did you improve your situation? 50.4% overall. Very good when he drops back, right? First in the Big 12 since week 8. But his positive EPA rate versus pressure is 18.9%, which is 9th overall. And so I pulled that out and said, that's a pretty big disparity. Michael Dunn pointed out that TC was on a list of lowest adjusted pressure rate at negative 14.2. Some other teams on that list: Stanford, West Virginia, Vanderbilt, Rutgers, Iowa State. That leads me to believe that I think there's something very structurally different about those other four relative to Iowa State. That leads me to believe TCU has very much been playing contain against rushing quarterbacks.
Has strategically
been avoiding pushing guys out of the pocket, which is not something they're going to worry about as much with Will Howard, especially because Chad Banks is going to be on the field a bunch too, and he's kind of emerged. So I think that there's an opportunity for Dylan Horton and Terrell Cooper to be very disruptive productively this
year.
So that leads me to go say that, and I'll tell them that best case scenario. I just think that was leading into my best case.
No. I think that's a fine approach. I think especially with the 3-3-5 and with Gillespie being in his first year, I'm finally playing a little bit more conservatively and saying, hey, let's get our back five, which is by far our most talented unit, and putting them into scenarios where they can succeed and not worrying about rushing 6 or 7 or whatever. But I'm fine with that approach. I do think there is an area to improve. That's it. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And I love last week against Iowa State where Johnny Hodges and Jamoy Hodge were just going to the quarterback. Gillespie also said Hulk smash.
Yeah. Also, blitzes are cool. And so
Blitzes are cool.
Yeah. What's your best case?
So my best case scenario involves TCU being very disruptive to Will Howard, gets him off a rhythm, doesn't get beat deep. And when Kansas State does break off a chunk play, it's a 15-yard play, not a 75-yard play. I think that's going to be really important. Open field tackling in space, especially in the pass game. I think TCU can absolutely hold Kansas State into the teens. And TCU could drop 30 on anybody. And so I think that's my best case scenario of a blowout is TCU up early, scores one late, walks away with this, 35 to 17 or something, something almost sleepy.
Okay. Let's hear from our listeners. Parker, Yell MK, friend of the pod. First of all, you asked offensive MVP, defensive MVP, score prediction. Yell MK, frogs, also frogs. Certainly no way he's wrong there and that he's predicted two TCU players. Is 10 out of 29 All Big 12 first team selections good? Asking for Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award winner. Yes, it is good. Ben Doika backs Dominic Williams / D Winters 45-30. Scott Wildcat, Will Howard, Julius Brents 31-28 Kansas State. All right, bud. We don't like your kind here. Matt Peterson, Quentin Johnston, THT 31-28. I'm scared. I am also scared, Matt, and I don't hate to tell you. Boba Frog, Max Duggan has his Heisman moment. Whoever makes Will Howard quake in his boots, I like that. 28-13. Big Dude at Byron C. Bailey. Max THT 41-27. Tango.
Dude. At dude.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, I just looked at this Twitter picture. We may have discovered this before. Byron was my RA freshman year.
Oh, hell yeah. That is awesome.
That's okay. Super cool. What's up, man? I'm glad he listens. That's very fun.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Tango at Nintendo Switch. Offensive MVP, Kendre. Defensive MVP says the best ability is availability. So we say THT. Andy Swain says QJ, THT, and Josh Newton, 38-35. Andrew Forrest, QJ, D. Winters, also 38-35, pretty popular pick. Michael at Woodburg's Listener of the Year. Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year / Mr. Golden Arm, Max Duggan. Fig Newton and 45-31. Toad Hefe at D. Duncan Soul. QJ, 32-30, TCU. The
he also had a good poll. I was going to pull that up. Yeah. I think he tagged me in something too. Keep going. I'll find it and read it, but I was just going to jump in.
Yeah, no, please.
Let me pulled know. Up something.
Okay. The ghost.
Oh, here it is. I got it right here. Sorry.
Got it.
Over the last four games of the regular season, TCU has been best in the Big 12, giving up only 17.25 points per game. So that, I thought that was a good poll as well, that in that the last four games of the season. Yeah. Very fun.
And I know caveman stats can be dumb. That's really good.
Yeah.
Giving up under 20 points to a college football.
Better than giving up more than 20 points a game. Yeah.
No, I don't want to poo-poo it. That is a good stat. Like that.
No, I'm not at all. I'm saying that was a good pull. No, I went out of my way. Yeah. I interrupted you thrice for it. I appreciate stats on this podcast.
The ghost of Texas winner, Deuce Vaughn. Deuce Vaughn, Daniel Green, 48-37. I'm tricked again by a Kansas State fan. Pete at Hit the Horn, 05. Kendra Miller, Dylan Horton, 41-30. I always mispronounce the name. Lochte at Damp Fruit.
I don't know. DM me. Let me know how to say it. Yeah, I get
please
it wrong every
DM
time.
Us. And I like you. Savion Williams, Bud Clark, 28-24. This tweet's from an account I muted, so I am not going to read it. Pete Mitchell, QJ goes off, Chad Banks, 41-24 TCU, Dyke season, QJ, Jadarius Clark, 34-31, Toad Frog, 140, Kendre, Josh Newton, 38-30 TCU, Throwback Frog, Mad Max, Hypno Toad, and 1 million Toads rolling over the sad cat boy, Beasley's Burner, Cade Warner, I am reading too many Kansas State people. Cade Warner, Austin Moore, 41-13, Kansas State. And Frog Boss, Max Duggan, D. Winters, 52-14, Frogs over the Kittens. Parker, I will let you go. What is your prediction for this game?
So the numbers have TCU 31.6, Kansas State 30.3. That gives TCU about a 54% chance to win this game. I feel like that's really right. I feel like this is going to be a nail biter. I don't love the 1-point differential. I think it's going to be like a field goal, maybe two. It's going to be something weird. I have no idea. I think I'm going to settle on TCU 30, Kansas State 27.
Okay. I'm pretty close to that. I have TCU 34, Kansas State 27. I don't think any of this will be fun. But I refuse. Here's my deal. I refuse to make myself engage in conversations about TCU in the college football playoff with one loss. So by that dictum, I have to think TCU is going to win this game and just be undefeated. So 34-27 TCU. Let's do it.
The logic is sound. The logic there is indeed sound. And Sunday we're going to have a podcast about something. It's going to be very different depending on what happens in the outcome of this game, but should be a good one. And I think TC is well poised to flex a little bit this weekend. So.
Yeah. Just beat whoever's in front of you. That's all TCU has to do. And they'll make the college football playoff. It's not that hard. It's really not. Just beat who's in front of you. Parker, let's do a whip around. And there are not a lot of games to whip around with because we're just doing conference championship games. USC, number four USC, hosts Utah in the Pac-12 championship game. Hosts, I say, because it's, I think, in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. USC is a, I don't have the
3-point dog for USC. 3-point dog. USC's a 3-point favorite. Excuse me, 3-point favorite.
I'll take USC there.
I'm going with the Trojans. Yep, I like their offense. And at this point, it's like, dude, I thought their turnover stuff was unsustainable, but they keep doing it. So, yeah.
Caleb Williams is going to win the Heisman. Caleb's going to win the Heisman. I thought it was going to be Stetson Bennett, but it's going to be Caleb Williams.
Unless I don't know when they vote. They haven't already voted, right? They vote next week.
I heard something where they vote before the conference championship, but I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I think that might have been something after. I made up. Because the only thing that could change it is if Caleb Williams throws 3 interceptions this weekend and Max Duggan throws for 600 yards, I think he might get the emotional, but which is insane to me. It's Parker, insane.
We're late enough in this podcast now where I can engage you in this conversation. Max Duggan going to New York for the Heisman Trophy is going to make me feel feelings I didn't know I could feel. I were so effing right about Max.
Literally, when they ran that pop pass, here's what it is. When they ran the pop pass where the tight end went for it on fourth down against Iowa State, they ran a PA tight end pop pass. It was like, Grant, what have I been yelling about for the last 3 gosh dang years? And here's why I'm amped up about this is because literally for 2020 and most of 2021, I had someone in my DMs every day chastising me for talking down about his team. And buddy, I just wanted you to win. I just wanted you to win.
I just wanted you to win, and I just wanted Max Duggan to be Max Duggan. It turns out if Max Duggan is Max Duggan, he's a top 3 college quarterback, top 3 college player in the country. Grant, you know how fun that is?
If Max Duggan wins the Heisman, I'm going to smoke 1 cigarette, and it's going to be amazing.
I'm going to smoke 12 cigarettes. I'm going to smoke a cigarette in my office as we record this podcast.
On the Zoom, inside.
If TCU wins the college national championship, I'm getting a butt tattoo of Max Duggan's number. I don't feel any regret about that. Okay. It's fine. It's fine. LSU is playing Georgia in the SEC championship game. For some reason, my app, I don't have the BetUS app, which I should, but it's not giving me the correct spread. Oh, Georgia is a 17.5 point favorite.
I like it. LSU is a little banged up. LSU is kind of deflated.
I think Georgia's any number that big. I don't.
They care. Oh, no. I don't. Yeah. Under 20, but yeah.
The over under 50.5. I would like the over on that if I had to pick. UCF is at Tulane in the AAC championship. We are a Power 6 podcast. We will evaluate this. I like Tulane because Willie Fritz is staying. That's because Georgia Tech didn't pay him anything, but
that's because Georgia Tech's poor.
But it's fine. He's still there. And they are a 3.5 point favorite hosting UCF. I like Tulane here.
Yeah, I'm riding with them.
I think Willie can do the hey, I stayed because I love you. And then they get a bump.
They his text message back to the reporter was very much like, dude, don't ask me about this.
Yes.
Which good for him. Tulane can afford it. Last time that Tulane and UCF played, Tulane had a fumble return overturned and an interception overturned and still kind of came back and had their shot. So I think that especially without John Reese Plumlee, who had 180 rushing yards, I think we said on the BetUS show against them the first time, I think that's a different UCF team. So I'm going to go with Tulane there.
Parker, has there ever been a college where you're like, man, I wish it would have applied to them? Tulane, I think, is one of them for me.
Fun fact, did apply to Tulane and just didn't get enough scholarship money for it to make sense.
No, that adds up. I just think it'd be a really fun experience.
It's super nice, man. When I went there, the big selling point was for their intramural flag football intramural program had gotten their own turf field.
Sick.
Which is pretty cool. I remember that. Wow. Yeah. So I wore a Tulane shirt every day of my senior year. Cause you get you go visit colleges and you collect it. And I just had a bright green one with the wave on it, man. I wore it a ton.
Fun fact, as we record this, 10 years ago today, I got my acceptance letter to TCU. Found that on Facebook. There you go. Yeah, that's fun for nobody but me. Clemson is a 9-point favorite against North Carolina in the ACC championship. Let me tell you, I'm not betting the line. I'm betting the over under, which is 63.5. And I am hammering the over for this game.
Can Clemson score? I mean, UNC's defense is real bad.
Have you seen Gene Chizik's North Carolina defense? I can guarantee you Clemson can score.
Grant, you and 10 replacement level Power 5 players, you're playing quarterback. No, you can choose what position you're going to play.
I'm playing quarterback. That's okay.
But it has to be skill position. You can't choose linemen. Yeah. How many points could you score on North Carolina's Gene Chizik's North Carolina defense? Both of you have a week to prepare. And Gene Chizik 40, has never seen 40, the playbook.
40.
Easy. Man, Florida A&M was like throwing the ball behind their back and stuff, like just screwing around.
Oh, scoring points. It's sick as hell.
It's very bad. Good. That would be great for DJU. I would love for DJU to, like, honest to God, throw 4 touchdowns and no interceptions, even if they lose. I just feel bad.
I really feel bad. Obviously, I'm rooting for Carolina. As we record, Carolina is playing Indiana basketball, a game I am not watching. But I think Clemson wins. I don't know if they cover, but I'm taking the over. And lastly, Michigan is a 17-point favorite against Purdue. Purdue does a lot of weird shit, and they win a lot of games they're not supposed to. I'm taking Purdue to cover, but I do think Michigan wins.
I think that, yeah, so it's kind of one of those, we're getting too many levels into this, but Purdue wins games that they shouldn't because the stakes are really high and they just snipe somebody. Here, the stakes are very low. And so I just don't know if the magic's there.
Okay.
Right. It's like Purdue beats the number 2 team when it's the second Saturday in October and that team's undefeated and Purdue just stuns them. Purdue doesn't say like, hey, this is a big game and we're going to win it and go to the Rose Bowl. I just don't have faith in that.
You've trapped me into this discussion. If Purdue beats Michigan, let's say, does Michigan still make the playoff? I hate this discussion. Do they?
Okay. 100%. Yep.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Georgia and Michigan are in regardless. And Purdue would go to the Rose Bowl. There has been some controversy. Have you seen that Ohio State asked the Rose Bowl not to take them because they're bored of going?
I did. And let me tell you, I think that's a lot of cope. It's tremendous amounts of copium. Enjoy the Holiday Bowl, jackasses. Parker, this has been the Purple Theory Podcast. My name is Grant McGalliard. Your name is Parker Fleming. You can find me on Twitter at Grant McGalliard, spelled like it sounds with all those vowels. He is Parker Fleming. He just recorded doing his Jordan Flu game, the BetUS show, which aired today at noon.
Aired today at noon. You can get both of them in the cut-ups and everything. Kyle was sick too. We had a heck of a week on the show. But I think it still turned out pretty well, and the chat was popping as always. So BetUS College Football, you can find that on YouTube, whatever, Spotify, wherever you listen to content.
We love content. Thank you for everyone who we showed up in your Spotify rap. It's not to be sappy. It's kind of super sick that that happens. Thank you for Frogs Today for sponsoring us, of course. Parker, TCU is playing for a Big 12 championship title and a chance to go to the college football playoff. And I got to tell you, bud, it's pretty cool.
You love to see it. It's been a long couple years. And this is really nice to have right here in the palm of our hands.
It's amazing that this podcast is still going after what we've had to undergo. Parker, let's beat Kansas State. Let's go to the playoff. Go Frogs.
Go Frogs.